Well, first of all, I want to let you know that I've complained about the heat all my life, and I don't know that I'll ever stop complaining. I'm one of those people that, well, I don't necessarily like it cold, but I can stand the cold a whole lot better than I can the hot, and it seems like it's been that way all my life. But I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to warn you. If I happen to back up from the podium tonight, it's because I'm getting closer to the vent where it's cool to try to cool down just a little. But I tell you what, I'm still thankful as we think about what we do have. I'm thankful for this building and it being air conditioned. Uh-oh. Fix the computer. I'll try to. There we go. I thought about that while I was sitting down there. I was trying to figure out, well, what's that little black spot there in the corner? And finally, I figured out that it was the laptop getting in the way. Well, now that we've got started, as you can see, the lesson tonight is entitled "For Such a Time as This." And we're going to be looking in the book of Esther in just a little while. But first of all, I want to remind you or tell you of a little story, a little illustration. You know, all of us know the story and the history behind the Alamo. And that is a story that a lot of us remember, and especially from history class or whatever. It's a story that really inspires a lot of people sometimes. And it's used to inspire and to encourage us. Not many years after the Alamo, many people don't remember that the United States and Mexico came close to a war once again. In fact, in April of 1914, the current president, Woodrow Wilson, sent an army from the U.S. to occupy the city of Veracruz, Mexico. And the reason he'd done this was because of one military leader down there that was trying to take over Mexico. And so once they took over this city and held it, they decided, well, what we need is more intelligence. We need to know how big of a force this guy has. We need to know, you know, what kind of equipment, ammunition, and weapons this guy has. And so what they decided to do was they chose this one captain and told him that they wanted him to go and find out what kind of information they could. And so this captain chose his assistant, and they went deep down into Mexico, and they did gather some valuable information. And so the task now was to be able to get back without getting killed so they could give the information to the government. On their return to Veracruz, the captain and his companion were confronted in just one night three times. And each time they was outmanned and outgunned. To make the short story a little bit shorter, let's just say they got back. They gave the information that was needful for them. The next day, this captain was looking at his clothes, and they was riddled with bullet holes. But he didn't have a scratch on him. You know, a lot of people say that when we have a purpose, or for our lives a special purpose, it's almost impossible to kill that person until that purpose has been accomplished. Whether this man thought of that, I don't know. We do know, and most of us can recognize, who this man was. This man was General Douglas MacArthur. And if you know your history, you know this man did go on to some very important missions. Now, to say that, to use this illustration, is to build up to the idea of our lesson tonight. And that is, We, as Christians, I think, are put in situations that God wants us in so that we can make a difference. You know, Esther is one of the most unusual books of the Bible. And it's interesting because in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned one time. Think about that. But yet, when you read the book of Esther, God's providence, His supernatural care of His people is clearly revealed throughout the book. Tonight in the text, we come to the point in the book where Esther is king over Persia. There is one man, Haman, he has a hatred for the Jews. And so he went to the king and he influenced the king to write a decree to where all the Jews would be exterminated. We pick up in Esther chapter 4 and verses 13 through 17. In verse 13 it says, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him." I want us to be mindful and think about this. Queen Esther here was challenged by her cousin Mordecai to do her part in these distressing times. And I think the same is true for us. You know, many people say that we live in distressing times. And so the question to us is, will we do our part? As Christians, we have been called and we have been equipped for such a time as this, whether we consider it to be in distress or not. As members of Christ's body, we are called and equipped to serve others. The purpose of the lesson tonight is for us to search ourselves and ask that question. Are we doing our part for such a time as this? When it comes to doing our part, the first thing I think we must realize is that we're going to have to listen to God. You know, Mordecai desired Esther to listen and hearken to his words and advice. And as Christians, we must also listen to our God, who instructs us in all matters. You know, I think too many times nowadays, we get caught up in thinking about so many various things that we don't really listen to what's going on around us. I saw the story of a lady who was a caterer. And she had this same idea. She kind of wondered sometimes as she went to these parties of whether people actually listened to each other. And so she came up with a little experiment. She decided, she took food to this one party, and as she was passing out the food, she would tell the people, "Ooh, do try this one. It's flavored with strychnine." Now, older people know what strychnine is. I don't know how many younger people do, but strychnine is a poison that is used, I think, a lot of times to kill rodents and things. Can you guess what reply she got back? Well, she heard things like, "Oh, these are delicious. They're so very tasty." Others mentioned, "Oh, I can taste the special flavoring that you put in there." And several wanted the recipe for them. Now, I think that illustrates to us sometimes. Do we really notice? Do we really listen? What about at the assembly? When we come together? When we sing, do we listen to the words? Or do we just sing along? During the Bible study, maybe when we are doing our own personal study, do we concentrate on what we are reading and studying? Or are we just there? If we are going to be ready for the time like this, we must listen to God. Another thing that goes along with that is if we want to listen to God, we must be selfless, or have selfishness must be abandoned. Once again, thinking back to our text, think what Mordecai meant when he said to Esther, "Don't imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all Jews." You know, in other words, what he's saying is, Esther, if you think you can think about yourself and remain silent and to think that the king won't find out that you're a Jew, you ain't thinking straight. Too many times, we don't put ourselves aside in our own self-interest. Too many times we want to do what we want to do. What makes it easy for us to do. Our salvation lies not in self. If you think you can concentrate on just getting yourself to heaven and not thinking about serving others, then you are dead wrong. We are partners together in the name Christian. And we are partners together in serving one another. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live to serve others? Another thing that must happen if we are to listen to God, and that is humility must be embraced. Going back to Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know, if Esther had been thinking, "Well, I'm the queen of Persia. Why should I do anything?" What would have happened? Well, more than anything else, she would have suffered. And as Mordecai said, somebody else would have been the one to save God's people. We must realize that if we do not do what we can, then it is going to be required of us. There in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, "But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Esther knew this principle well. She knew she was in a position to do something, and she did it. You know, as a nation, we have been blessed. As a church, we have been blessed. Opportunities for service and worship abound in this area, right here. We must serve according to our capacity for Christ and for His church. If we choose not to listen to God, not to serve Him and worship Him, we're going to have to realize somebody else will. He will find another nation. He will find a sound church or another person. And we will be the ones suffering for it. You know, we need to be listening to God and not growing weary in it. Another thing when it comes to being prepared, being ready for a time such as this, and that is we must think about our situations. You know, Mordecai certainly wanted Esther to think and reflect on where she was and why and how she was in such circumstances for such a time as she was. I think it's good for us, too, to reflect on where we are and why. First of all, I think we need to always keep in mind that we have been saved by grace. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it speaks of our being dead in our sins, in living in the lust of our flesh, and indulging in flesh desires. But yet, in Ephesians 2 and verses 4 and 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God has made us alive in Christ. We have been saved by grace. It is a gift. Now, since we have been made alive, since we have received this grace, what's our response? Well, our response should be to serve God and do His good works. Our response should be to remember always that we have been saved by grace. Another thing when it comes to this is that we have been brought to this time for a reason. I believe our being together here and now is no more an accident than it was Esther being made queen of Persia. Opportunities of service abound around us. We live in the 21st century. I know if you're like me, some of the older ones, sometimes you wish we lived in another age when it was more simple. But on the other hand, what a time to be alive. What a time to have all the conveniences that we do. To have all the technology that is before us. I truly believe we have more opportunities now than anybody in the past. You know, and when you think about it, our communications, how simple is it through Facebook or email or the internet to talk to somebody all the way around the world? What about the transportation that we have? The ability to travel so far, so fast. It makes the spreading of the gospel limited by one thing: our own self-interest. When we put ourselves before the spreading of the gospel. Every laborer for the Lord is properly equipped. You know, that's the amazing thing about it. You know, when you think back to the God's people when they was in Egyptian bondage, you know, Pharaoh made them try to make bricks at that time without straw. But God doesn't do that for His people. You know, when we go into battle, He gives us a sword to use. If He wants us to build people up, He's going to give us the hammer or whatever equipment it is to build them up. Whatever the task, God equips us and provides us all that is needed. And I'm going to make a statement here that I think we all agree with, we just don't want to admit it. Each of us have more abilities and talents than what we use. When abilities and talents are combined, you want to see church growth? You want to see a church get stronger? You want to see more people in the pews? Where you put your talents, your abilities, together with your opportunities, and you're going to have that. And God has equipped us with what we need. What we need to do then is seize the moment. Seize the opportunities. We need to look at what situations we are in. And we need to start right there and make a difference. And that comes to our next point. We must accomplish our mission. Once again, thinking about our text, Esther listened and thought out what the situation was. And then she set out to accomplish the mission that was given to her. Are we listening to God's word? Are we thinking about our situation? Is our mission then in focus? Because if it is, we're not going to fail. And that's what Esther knew. If God be for us, we're not going to fail in our mission. And Esther understood that if God brought her to that situation, there was no need for her to fear. There in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, once again it reads, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day, for my maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." You know, she made her mind up. She knew it was against the law. She knew her life was at stake. But she also thought, God's put me here for this purpose. And so I'm going to do it. And that's what we need to do also. We need to settle in our minds that we are given to the mission. Our mission is winning souls and building up the disciples around us. And we must advance in this without fear and without question. And in doing this also, the next thing I think we must realize is that to each is his own station. You know, all of us are, as the scriptures say, all of us are different members of the same body. All of us have different talents, different abilities. Esther made this mission a team effort. She asked Mordecai and the rest of the Jews to pray and to fast with her. And this is why our opportunities for ministry and serving must be shared. And why each member of the church family must grasp the biblical concept that each one of us is a servant. One thing I don't know whether it usually doesn't come out in the men's business meeting summaries. I don't know whether it does or whether they put it in the summary or the minutes. But one thing I think has been so very helpful for us is when we have a men's business meeting, sometime during that meeting, we always talk about different people in the community. Usually one person will say, "Well, I spoke to this person the other day, and they seem kind of interested in maybe doing a Bible study, or they seem kind of interested in coming to church. Who else knows them? Who else can ask them, encourage them?" That's what we need to be doing. You know, my station is different than other people's station in this congregation. And we must realize that whatever our station is, whatever it is, our talent is, That's what we need to be using. I want to tell you the story about a large congregation that was in one of the large cities in this nation. This happened several years ago, and the men met for a business meeting, and the discussion focused on what should be done with a large sum of money that was in the savings account. And as the meeting went on, it seemed like most of the men at the meeting kind of tended to go with the advice of a banker that was a member of the church. And his advice was to take that money and to invest it to where the bank account, the savings account, could grow larger. Well, finally, one of the older gentlemen of the group stood up and he said, "Brethren, I want to know who will be willing to take this huge sum of money to the judgment seat of God and say, 'Here, Lord, here is your money. We saved it for you.'" And then he looked at all of them and said, "It's certainly not going to be me." And as you can imagine, silence fell over the room as the respected leader quietly sat down and bowed his head. His point was made. Now, we are all in a similar circumstance. We, everybody here, has talents, or at least one talent. Everybody has abilities. Everybody gets opportunities. So now the question is, are you going to take that to judgment and tell Christ, "Well, Lord, here, I saved it for you"? Or are you going to be able to say, "Lord, I used it for your service"? Esther was in a circumstance much like we are today. She could have deferred and buried her talents and the opportunity that was given to her. Instead, she rose to the occasion and proved that she was ready and willing for such a time as this. Are you willing to do that also? That's the question tonight. You have an opportunity tonight, if you've never been forgiven, an opportunity that may be come once in your life, because we never know when our lives are going to end. We never know when an accident is going to happen to us, when some medical issue comes up that we didn't have any warning about. And we especially don't know when the Lord's going to come again. This is the time. Will you take the opportunity that has been given to you tonight to have your sins forgiven? Maybe you've done that, but maybe you haven't been living the life you should. Maybe you've grown weak and you just need some prayers to strengthen you. Whatever the need that you might have, we're willing to help you if we can. So if there's anything that we can help you with tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.